I'm often struck by the sadness with which this gospel passage ends. The rich young man, at the end of the encounter with Jesus, goes away sad. It makes us wonder, well, what is the cause of sadness? What's the cause of joy? What makes us happy? What makes us sad? In the case of this young man, it would seem to us, if we took the worldly perspective, like he has everything necessary to make him happy. He has many possessions, for one thing, so he's rich. But he's also young. Youth is a kind of richness. Possibility, idealism, hope, open future. He also is a good man, at least to a certain extent. He's not killing, committing adultery, stealing, bearing false witness, dishonoring his parents. So, seems like he should have everything necessary for happiness. But he himself recognizes there's something missing. Even though I have everything, there's something missing. What do I still lack? Why am I not yet happy? To his credit, he turns to Jesus to find out, well, what do I have to do? What do I have to do now? Jesus corrects him at the very beginning and says, why do you ask me about the good? Are you focused on yourself, on your own good, on some good that you can possess, or are you really open to the goodness that is God? Kind of challenges. There's only one who's good, and you're not the one, is kind of what he's saying there. There's only one who's good, so don't put all your hopes on your own goodness. Keep the commandments. And the young man says, I've already done that. That's not enough. What do I still lack? And then Jesus invites him to abandon himself to God, to let go of his security in his possessions, to give to the poor, to make a donation of himself to God. And he will have treasure in heaven. Then follow me. Great invitation. A great invitation, a blessed opportunity to become a disciple. And that's the very moment where he says no. The young man turns away, and that's the reason for his sadness. He's not sad because he has possessions. He's not sad because he's young. He's not sad because he follows the commandments. He's sad because he turns away from the invitation Jesus gives him. He says no. Something like that parable when the rich man is having a banquet and he invites many people, and the people say, no, I've got other things to do, I can't come to the banquet. Well, then, if you can't come to the banquet, then you miss the joy. So he goes away sad. Perhaps the idea of his sadness struck me because yesterday's gospel focused on the Canaanite woman who started out with sadness, who started out with disadvantage. She's a pagan in a pagan land. Her daughter is possessed by a demon. She's desperate for help. She turns to Jesus. Jesus doesn't pay her any attention. She begs him. He starts to give her negative responses. And it seems like everything's going badly for that woman. But at the end of yesterday's gospel, it ends with joy, because Jesus honored her for her great faith and he granted her request. So today's gospel ends in sadness. Yesterday's gospel ended in joy, which makes us wonder, well, what is it that gives us joy? Well, we know the answer is the Lord. Joy in the Lord is the only joy that really satisfies the heart. Joy in the will of God, finding our identity and our purpose and our hope in God. Actually, the Blessed Virgin Mary says this the best. Now, we heard this on Saturday when we celebrated the Assumption, and we read her great canticle, the Magnificat, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God. My spirit rejoices in God. That's the only kind of joy that can really survive. The other joys, they don't satisfy. Actually, there's a certain growth in understanding that should take place in us, even from our youth. As children, we should have learned that possessions don't give lasting joy. We should have learned that. Because every child who has his heart set on a certain toy or possession and then gets it and is overjoyed discovers that the next day he's not as happy about it as he thought he would be. I mean, you only have to be about 6 years old to learn that lesson. And perhaps we have learned it, but it seems to me in the world that lesson, that very basic lesson, has still not been learned because people keep pinning their joys on something as empty as possessions. If only I get this special phone. If only I have a sports car, if only I have this or that item of clothing or this status symbol, I'll be happy. Yeah, you'll be happy for a few minutes. It's nice to have good things, of course. And there's nothing wrong with good things. But they don't give us joy. That should be obvious to us. People who have learned that very basic lesson still have more to learn. We all have more to learn because we don't only pin our joy to possessions, we pin our joy to popularity, to control, being able to get what we want, even to dominate others, power. And those things are much more appealing in the deep in the soul than just owning something, having a pile of money or something like that. But there are very good things which do give us joy that don't last. In today's first reading, we're stunned by how the Lord treats the prophet Ezekiel. Okay, Ezekiel, son of man, by a sudden blow, I am taking away from you the delight of your eyes. He's talking about the death of his wife. What? You're going to take away his wife just to make a pale, just to teach a lesson to the people? Isn't that a kind of cruel way to treat Ezekiel? That's how it strikes us. I hope it strikes you that way. It's a very stunning thing to say. I'm going to take away something precious to you so that they can learn their lesson. Now, it's also a lesson to Ezekiel, right? Ezekiel can't pin his hopes for happiness on a happy marriage or on a beautiful wife. That's not the lasting source of happiness. Good marriage, good family, good job, good life. No, those are all good things. But if we think that those will make us happy, we'll be just like the rich young man and say, what do I still lack? Why am I not happy even though I have these good things? Why am I not happy? But the Lord's treatment of Ezekiel is, yes, a lesson for the people, but it's also a lesson to Ezekiel. And it's true that sometimes the Lord deals with us in what seems like very harsh ways. That's why clinging to the principle of joy in the Lord is not easy, because finding our joy in the Lord doesn't mean that we'll be happy all the time. Mary herself, the one I said, she gives the best expression of joy. My soul rejoices in the Lord, my Savior. That was true all the time, Mary's whole life. But she also experienced deep sadness. So even though she rejoiced in the Lord, she still had to pass through these times of darkness. And everybody does. Ezekiel does. The Canaanite woman in yesterday's gospel, she had to pass through these stages of feeling abandoned or ignored by the Lord, even insulted by the Lord. And persevering in faith through those stages is essential so that We're finding our joy in the Lord and nothing else. That's what the young man in today's gospel has not learned. That joy in the Lord and nothing else. And even the moments of sorrow or the losses, the sacrifices, the giving away of things, the hardship of sacrifice doesn't defeat that joy. In fact, it makes it possible to thrive. There was a beautiful expression of this in today's comment. I thought of this yesterday, and I'm happy it came up again today. Listen to this prayer. O God, who have prepared for those who love you good things which no eye can see. The Lord has something in mind for us which we cannot see. It's not tangible, physical goods. Fill our hearts, we pray, with the warmth of your love. That's the real treasure. That's what really gives us joy, the love of the Lord. So that loving you in all things and above all things, that's what the rich man hasn't learned, to love God above all things and in all things, so that loving you in all things and above all things, we may attain your promises which surpass every human desire. God's promises surpass every human desire. So our desire for good things, our desire for health and security and control and popularity and all these things, what God promises surpasses all those things. And so when we find our joy in the Lord, then we have lasting joy. And if we don't find that, we'll always feel like something's missing. And we should. We should feel like something's missing if we don't have joy in the Lord. That's the restless heart that St. Augustine describes so beautifully. You have made us for yourself, O Lord. You have made us for yourself, O Lord. And our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Our hearts do not find joy until they find joy in you. I think that's the lesson that the young man in today's gospel has not yet learned. Maybe he learned it afterwards, but he hasn't learned it yet, and so he's left sad. And we, if we haven't learned the lesson, we will experience sadness. Even when we know this truth, we'll still pass through sadness. But it doesn't defeat the lasting joy, our hope in the satisfaction of desires that are beyond our imagination. That's what God has in store for us.